Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Wednesday. We are live in Los Angeles, and this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, XM Sirius Channel 83 today. Last couple of days, I'm just doing my radio show. I walk around town. People are saying, where are you? I turned on TV, and I said, well, I'll be on TV tomorrow, that being today. It is great to have you in. It is a pleasure to have you in. Yesterday, 30 minutes into our show, I got a text that Tom Brady was going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Not a place I ever saw as a front runner. I went with it. It was a celebrity slash wealthy source of the few friends I have who are up in that stratosphere. This was one of them. He's a friend. He called and he said, Brady's going to the Buccaneers. I said, really? And he said, yeah, it came down to the Dolphins, it came down to the Chargers, and it came down to Tampa Bay. So I texted him. John Goulet created this music bed. So when I have to go to my phone during the show, I can at least, the audience knows it's a signal that I am getting. Yeah, it's this. That means I'm on my phone getting a text. So this happened yesterday, 30 minutes into the show, and I said, I've never used a source, not a football source, to break a massive football story, but I went with it. And we were right, about 6 hours ahead of everybody else. Doesn't really matter in the end, but that's what happened yesterday if you did not listen to our show. Let me say this. I worked in Tampa for 2 years. I loved covering the team. Tampa Bay, there's a lot of 5 or 6, 7 irrelevant franchises in the NFL on a yearly basis. Tampa Bay should not be. Cleveland, ownership, in and out of coaches, in and out of quarterbacks, in and out of GMs. Good God, since Baker Mayfield arrived. 3 coaches, interim coaches, numerous GMs. There's a reason they're bad. They're dysfunctional in ownership. Washington Redskins, there's a reason they're dysfunctional. The owner is a meddler. Then there's organizations like Cincinnati. They're cheap. They just don't have a lot of money. Then there's organizations like Jacksonville. They're just apathy. They're now playing games regularly in London, more than one this year. Tampa shouldn't be this bad. They've had great coaches. John Gruden, Sam Weish, Tony Dungy, Bruce Arians. They've had Hall of Fame players. They won a Super Bowl. They've got passionate fans. Stadium can be packed. They have great facilities. They should not be bundled up in this Cleveland, this kind of malaise of apathy and weak ownership. Their owners are not poor. I know the Glazer family. I love the kids. Didn't know the dad particularly well. But when I worked there for 2 years, the front office was smart. The players were good. The coaching was excellent. This was not Cleveland. This was not Washington. This is not Detroit. It's not cheap Cincinnati. What has held them back? Quarterback. Since 1976, since Tampa's been a franchise, their passer rating, last in the NFL, 73. Completion percentage, this is hard to get your arms around. Last, 56%. Their quarterbacks have thrown 830 touchdowns and 852 picks. This is, you know how franchises say, we are just a quarterback away. Tampa is. They're last in everything, in quarterback. They've got a wealthy owner, passionate fans, smart people in the front office. They've had great coaches. They've won a Super Bowl. They've had great players. When I was a kid growing up, we didn't have a pro football team in Seattle. Then we got one in 1976, 77 season. Seattle got one. Jim Zorn, Sherman Smith, Steve Largent. It was an offensive team, couldn't stop a nosebleed. Tampa was the opposite. Tampa had the Selman brothers. They were great defensively. They couldn't score. If you'd have just been able to combine the two. So I've been following Tampa forever. They were the team that came in with my Seahawks. And then I went and worked with them and had a blast. It was well run, smart people. But they never could get the quarterback right. I was looking this morning. That's why Brady's going to fix this thing. Their first quarterback was Steve Spurrier. Way better coach than quarterback. Then they went to Randy Hedberg. Boy, those were the days. Doug Williams was solid, not spectacular. Then they had a bunch of Steve DeBergs, Jack Thompson, Vinny Testaverde for a few years. Back to Steve DeBerg, Trent Dilfer, my buddy. I covered those teams. Sean King, Brad Johnson, Brian Greasy, Chris Sims, Byron Leftwich. They had the Josh Freeman years, Jameis Winston. They don't have one great quarterback ever. The Super Bowl they won with Brad Johnson. His nickname, perhaps mean-spirited, was Captain Checkdown. They're the only franchise. They're it. Every other franchise has had a guy. One. Steve Young played for about an hour there. That doesn't count. So last year is so classic Tampa. They were 7-9. Six of their nine losses, touchdown or less, in the game late. In those six losses, 12 turnovers. Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston had 30 picks last year. In the last 4 years, Tom Brady's had 29. So Jameis had more last year than Brady's had in almost half a decade. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the one franchise that can say, you know what, we're a quarterback away. And they have been, mostly for the last 30 years. And now they've got one. He's a leader. He's a winner. He is accurate. He doesn't make big mistakes. He's great at the line. They are the one franchise where I look at and go, good Lord, if they could just get a quarterback. They never have. You think Chicago, Miami have had their problems? You think Denver's had their problems post-John Elway? They've had talented guys. They had Peyton Manning. God, Tebow even won there. Yo, Miami post-Dan Marino. They've had some interesting players. Tannehill wasn't bad. Tannehill would arguably be as good as anybody Tampa's ever had. He's up there with Doug Williams. Better than Josh Freeman. His career's better than Trent Dilfer. He's a better player than Brad Johnson. So Brady's going to work. Are they going to win a ton of games? I don't know, but they got the weapons. Let me also say this. I work at Fox Sports. Best place I've ever worked, most fun I've ever had. This is, by the way, a weird 2-3 week stretch that's going to probably be a weird summer. But I was thinking yesterday with Tom Brady, it was a good day for Fox. For years and years, CBS made a lot of money putting Tom Brady on those late games. Tom Brady is now a Buccaneer. By the way, Tampa and Tom Brady next year face Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, the L.A. Rams, and Drew Brees twice. Those are all national TV games. Those are great watches. They'll be on Fox. Conversely, New England now, which CBS has leaned on, is an absolute snooze. They have no weapons and Jarrett Stidham. And they just lost two of their best five defensive players. How good are the Patriots going to be? I said yesterday, I'm not so sure. They haven't built up enough equity to tank. Do a Golden State. They don't have a contingency plan. They don't. They just let go of two top defensive players. Doesn't look like, from what I can tell, they've got anything planned. Why would they? Go 5-11, 4-12. Get rid of some players, free up cap space, rebuild, and go get a quarterback next year. But Tom Brady will win this divorce. And it may be, at least in the press, an amicable divorce. But he's going to win it for the first 2 years. Because he is inheriting Bruce Arians and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and a great tight end, functional running backs. He's going to win this puppy. His production is going to be outstanding. And New England's going to be a complete bore at quarterback, and they've got, I believe this morning, the worst weapons in the NFL. It is now a weapons league. So don't kid yourself on this. The Lakers were unwatchable the second Kobe retired. Cleveland twice. fascinating to unwatchable twice. Golden State today, unwatchable when the Stars left. San Francisco, without Jimmy Garoppolo being healthy, brutal. He's healthy, can't take my eyes off him. Aaron Rodgers, every time he rolls up on that collarbone and misses a game, you can't watch the Packers play. The Colts without Andrew Luck. So the consumer, you, control TV ratings. Therefore, you, the consumer, control the networks. Tom Brady's going to be all over the networks for at least a year against Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees twice, L.A. Rams, Patrick Mahomes. CBS this morning is figuring out ways not to put the Patriots on. So short term, Brady, for a year at least, is going to get a lot of love, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of attention. He'll be a topic on this show weekly. New England will not. Don't kid yourself. Fans are attracted to stars and stories. Brady is both. New England is neither. The winner in this divorce for a year, perhaps amicable, kind of, sort of, is Tom Brady.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, what's interesting, Tom Brady is really, I think, Belichick and Brady uniquely, and both formed a culture in New England that was several things. Very efficient, very cerebral, very detail-oriented. I could make an argument that the Tampa Bay Buccaneer franchise, and this is not a shot at them, it's just their reality, is the opposite of New England. New England has really zero weapons and won't spend for them. That is now the strength of Tampa, their weapons. New England has sort of a no-days-off culture. No days off. Work your fingers to the bone. Bruce Arians, the coach of Tampa. Cocktails early. Once bragged on HBO, I don't understand why coaches can't go home for dinner. The exact opposite. New England is frugal and then cerebral and efficient. Tampa's talented, unbelievably inefficient the last several years with Jameis Winston. New England the last 20 years has been defined by the greatest quarterback ever. Tampa Bay's never had one. One. New England, cold weather. Tampa, September, October, you're playing in an outdoor sauna. Believe me, I've done live shots from that stadium. Boston's an academic hub. I'll say this nicely, Tampa is a strip club hub, and I'll leave it at that. No shot intended. We just do the facts here. New England's got six Super Bowl banners in an end zone. Tampa Bay has a pirate ship. These are the opposite. If this was not football, it would be a midlife crisis for Tom Brady. He's going to be productive. Is he going to win? I don't know. He'll win more than last year. But winning in the NFL is details. Production isn't details. Houston isn't very detail-oriented. They score a bunch of points. The Pittsburgh Steelers with Big Ben are not terribly efficient. They're not great with the details. They score a bunch of points. Winning in the NFL is detail. Special teams, few penalties, don't turn it over, good coaching. New England does not have the most talent. Does anybody think over the last 10 years they've been top two or three in overall talent? I do not. I thought that team, they beat that Charger team 2 years ago, they beat in the playoffs by 40. I thought the Chargers had more players. So did the Pro Bowl voters. Okay, so Tom Brady's going to be productive, but he is going to the opposite of what he has been in. He has been in a frugal, efficient, cerebral, buttoned down, every paper picked up in the hallway franchise. Tampa Bay is loose, not saying they're not smart, but it's loose and talented and inefficient, and they take big swings, and it's a different environment. It's not an academic hub like Boston is with 51 universities, where the Celtics competing against the Red Sox. They've always been ahead of the curve on analytics. The Celtics have, the Red Sox have, the Patriots have. It's a different culture. I think Tom's going to like it. You know, it's again, you're dating somebody that's more fun, that goes to bed late, stays up. I think he'll like it. The question is, will he become frustrated with it? Will there be times when he's like, you know, we just lost 27-26 because we had extra penalties and two of our guys couldn't remember a play. Remember this, too. The virus means no OTA, no camps, no workouts. Tom lives for that. This is a, not only is it a weird pendulum swing, New England to Tampa, culturally, organizationally, but the virus is shutting down all the workouts. So you're going to have to do some of this on the fly. This will be the least prepared Tom Brady has ever been as a quarterback. And he thrives on details. You remember the documentary Tom versus Time? You remember that? Tom like smirked when he said, God, I could just sit and watch this all day as he's drinking a lean smoothie, as he's in, you know, pajamas he developed to sleep longer, as he's, you know, made of kale, as he's eating vegetable ice cream. He's all about the details. Tampa's not been. And they're not going to massively change overnight. I just read something this morning. Tampa still can't get over the fact Tom's there. Like, people in Tampa are like, what? Brady's going to wear pewter. He's going to wear orange. It's like, yeah. It is a big swing. It is a big swing. He'll be productive. That I don't doubt. Tom will be productive. Will he win a bunch of games? You're going against Sean Payton. You know, you got Drew Brees twice a year, Matt Ryan twice a year. I think the Falcons are well-run. Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, is now in division with Carolina. Unlike Cam, he doesn't make mistakes. So you got to beat teams. They're not going to beat themselves. Matt Ryan didn't beat himself. Sean Payton and Brees don't beat themselves. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't beat himself. Tampa historically beats itself. Has games won, screws up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Carolina is basically cutting the cord with Cam Newton. I've never been a huge fan of Cam. I am a big fan of Teddy Bridgewater. Bridgewater is now going to sign a contract, 3 years, incredibly reasonable money. Cam Newton fans are interesting. They remind me of people who are into politics, really embedded into politics. You can give them facts and they just don't care. People get so embedded, liberal, conservative. It doesn't matter what you tell them. They don't want to hear it. They want affirmation. They don't really want information. Cam fans, more than any fan base in the country, want this. Cam's average. Cam is a career 59% completion percentage. That's below average. Passer rating's 86. Average. He's an average player who had one great year. That's it. Talented? Yeah. Big? Yeah. Strong? Yeah. Handsome? Yeah. Model? Yeah. Stylish? Yeah. Good? Not really. Not really. I hate to break it to you. Well, he didn't have enough support. Stop. Ron Rivera was out of work for as long as the phone call took for Washington to pay him millions. Great coach. Well, I'll just say, good coach. Got to a Super Bowl. Offensive lines Cam had, multiple Pro Bowlers, including Trey Turner, who just got traded to the Chargers. Defense, mostly top 10 with Ron Rivera. Running backs, he had three different good ones. D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, Christian McCaffrey. Wide receiver, Steve Smith, Hall of Famer. Tight end, Greg Olsen. I don't want to hear he didn't have help. By the way, this offense with Teddy Bridgewater is going to score a ton of points. He wasn't efficient. That's a Cam issue. Since his MVP year, he's a 500 quarterback with 65 TDs and 44 picks. Well, he runs around. That used to be unique. Now he's not even the best at that. He's average. He's an average quarterback who had a great year. You can find kickers. You can find receivers. You can find running backs who have a great year. But I don't want to hear that he didn't have support. How many Hall of Fame running backs and wide receivers has Aaron Rodgers had? Name the great defenses Aaron Rodgers has had. Aaron Rodgers has had less help defensively than Cam, and I would say less running back help than Cam. Well, Mike McCarthy, you sure he's better than Ron Rivera? All my sources say coin flip. A lot of them like Ron Rivera more than Mike McCarthy. McCarthy's had better quarterbacks. So Cam's never had back-to-back winning seasons, and I've always felt that really defines him. Is that Cam is inconsistent. Cam is distracted. Cam has a lot of interests. And it's not that I've said this. Talent, it's indisputable. But to be great year after year after year, it doesn't matter if you're a quarterback or a salesperson, you need to be emotionally consistent, and Cam is not. Cam's all over the map. Cam's got a lot more issues behind the scenes than anybody wants to talk about. This is a career passer rating guy of 86. They're going to be better offensively with Teddy Bridgewater. We all get caught up in arm and size. That's not what this league's about. This league is overwhelmingly about don't make a ton of mistakes, be good on third down, be above average at the line of scrimmage. A lot of guys winning Super Bowls that don't have cannons for arms. Okay, Jared Goff got to a Super Bowl. He's not a world-class athlete. He lost to Tom Brady in that Super Bowl. Not a world-class athlete. Tom Brady lost to Nick Foles in a Super Bowl. Neither is a world-class athlete. Is Jimmy Garoppolo a world-class athlete? I mean, last four or five Super Bowls, we've had one world-class athlete, Patrick Mahomes, in a Super Bowl. And the other thing is, Matt Rhule is the new coach of Carolina. And Matt Rhule is all about creating cultures. That's his stamp, right? Like at Baylor. He's a culture creator. What he's telling you with Cam, I don't want him to be any part of my culture. I got no interest Cam being part of my culture. I'm going to create a different culture, and I like Teddy Bridgewater as a fit. And, you know, people say, Colin, you don't like Cam. Carolina doesn't like him. They signed another quarterback, and Cam's still on the team. Meaning, they may just cut him. I mean, they already said goodbye to him. They don't like him. And they know more about him than I do.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
As far as New England, we know Tom Brady's going to a very, very talented offense. By the way, the Buccaneers defense last year with Todd Bowles, who I always liked, he's a better coordinator than a head coach, was top 10 in the NFL in efficiency. Tampa Bay is going to win some games and be productive. Are they a playoff team in the crowded NFC? I'm not sure. It's not an organization that historically has been buttoned down in terms of details, though they've had a ton of talent. I think Tom swings that pendulum a little bit. They become a little more efficient, if not a lot more efficient. But it is a division where it's kind of hard to, you know, you got twice a year Breeze, twice a year now Bridgewater, twice a year Matt Ryan, guys that don't beat themselves. These are going to be tight, tight games. It's going to be probably the strongest quarterback division in the NFL in terms of efficiency between Breeze and Bridgewater and Brady and Matt Ryan. No stiffs, not a lot of picks, a lot of smart dudes. Belichick has a plan because he's smart and always has a plan. I just saw this morning he let another defensive player go. That's four total defensive players he's let go. Van Noy, Jamie Collins, Duron Harmonen, good player, rotational player, sometimes starters, gone to Detroit. He's done a couple solids for Detroit. His buddy, Matt Patricia, Brian Flores, coach of Miami, his buddy. I think they have a plan. It's starting Jarrett Stidham. Tom Brady is already $13 million on the cap this year and not there. So if you played an Andy Dalton, if you paid Andy Dalton $20 million, that's a $33 million quarterback. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't believe that smart people that always have a plan suddenly are caught off guard. They didn't make an offer to Tom. They didn't pursue Tom. They haven't pursued weapons. This feels like to me we'll start Jarrett Stidham. We'll go 5-11, maybe 6-10, put ourselves in the top 10 in the draft. We built up a lot of equity. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they think they go in the Super Bowl. Look at the roster. Look at what they're doing. Seems to me they're getting younger. They're a little old. It looks like they're getting younger and less expensive. They're going to pay very few people. Stephon Gilmore, they're going to pay. Their kicker, they're going to pay. Joe Tooney, O-lineman, they're going to pay. Not many other people. Certainly not the quarterback position. Am I surprised that Tom Brady left? I said this yesterday when I got a call 30 minutes into the show that he was going to Tampa Bay. We broke that story about 6 hours before, you know, your typical NFL guys. I was surprised it was Tampa. I was not shocked. I was surprised he left New England. But never forget superstars. Kevin Durant left the dynasty. Why? What do we find out? Why? Later. It was that Draymond Green moment. And he didn't feel the organization addressed Draymond Green. Why did LeBron leave Cleveland a second time? LeBron felt the organization didn't listen to him. They traded Kyrie Irving. LeBron said, do not. Who cares if he wants to go? Do not trade him. Tom Brady. The organization wouldn't listen to him. I need weapons. These alpha males, they want to be treated differently. And if they've won titles for you, LeBron in Cleveland, Durant in Golden State, and Brady in New England, sometimes when they say stuff, listen to them. They deserve to get babied a little. Durant forgot, did not forget the Draymond situation. He ignored it, and he played through it, and he played nice, but he didn't forget. And LeBron kept trying hard and played really well post-Kyrie. but he never forgot. And Brady, weapons, he's wanted them. I read a story Albert Breer said this morning. Listen, Brady grew older, had kids, found business interests outside of football, and may to some degree have been done being dealt with as if he was a long snapper. You know, and I also think the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I want to play a bite. TJ Hushmanzada had predicted on our show, Brady, 0% chance he's coming back. Let's be honest about it. Tom Belichick wanted to replace him a couple years ago. And much like Durant with Golden State or LeBron and Kyrie in Cleveland, Tom may play nice, but Tom knows 2 years ago, you tried to get rid of me for a guy that I think I'm still better than. Here's TJ on, he thinks that's the reason Tom left.
I look at the Jimmy G situation where Belichick was basically, he was gone, lawyer Maloyum and Richard Seaborn, he was going to get rid of him when he could still play. And Bob Kraft said, no, 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 you're not doing this. So they got rid of Jimmy G. And I don't believe Brady could ever get over that. That's like your wife saying, oh, I'm going to go date another man. Okay, are you okay with it? Oh, I'm going to stay with you. I didn't know he had a girlfriend. Like, yeah. Who's going to go for that? And so Brady had to put up with it. And now that he can leave, he's going to leave.
I mean, Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech, he criticized his high school coach. You know, alpha males may play nice and play through it, but they don't forget. And maybe that was the reason.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Chris Sims works for NBC Sports. He is a former Buck. He reported over the last weekend, he said, hey, Brady's down to the Bucks and the Patriots. And he also reported the Niners are out. He is good friends with Kyle Shanahan. And so Chris is joining us on a pretty frenetic week. Let me start. First of all, Chris, thanks for coming on. I appreciate this.
Oh, anytime, man. Hey, Colin, you the man. I enjoy listening to you. I watch you all the time. And anytime I get a chance or I'm free, I'm down to come on with you, man.
So you, I covered the Bucks for 2 years. I thought it was well run and smart. It was a little loose, but I always thought there were smart people in the front office. I covered Dungy and I covered Sam Weish. This is the one franchise in America that can say, you know, we just have never had a superstar quarterback.
Right.
Your experience there, how does Tom and that attention to detail, how does it fit in Tampa, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's going to be a little bit of a culture shock. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be a little bit like, hey, you know, I'm used to obsessive compulsive, cross every T, dot every I, you know, type of coaches. And not to say that, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Bruce Arians aren't that way. But come on, I mean, we know that Bill Belichick leads the history of football in that department. So
Right. Nobody's
going to be quite that. To your point, to what you said, I mean, I think it's a city that's starving for this type of player. You know, when I was there and lost my spleen not long after that, you might remember that we were very into the Brett Favre chase there before he ended up picking the New York Jets that year.
Yep.
So this is a franchise in the Glazers who I think is really welcoming this opportunity. And yeah, will it be as buttoned up as perfect as New England? No, nobody is that way. But I do think that Tom Brady's going to get a lot of things that he didn't get in New England with Tampa. And that is a head coach that's going to, you know, show a little affection and respect and maybe more, a little more dialogue about game plan and what to do and how he feels and all of those things that I'm sure really appealed to Tom Brady, let alone the team and the offense have potential with him, because Brady can still throw the ball at a very, very high level. His arm is still towards the top of football as far as arm strength is concerned.
I never thought I like the Glazer kids. He's obviously, in terms of wealth, he's got some ownership over in the UK with an English Premier League team. Did you like the Glazers? Did you find them willing to spend money and easy to talk to and the right kind of owner? You know, you can't win in this league with a bad ownership group. How did you feel they were as owners?
Oh, I think the world of the Glazer family. I mean, first off, they have a great humanity side to them. They care about their coaches and the people in the organization. organization, as people. They really showed that with me, with my spleen and my issues. And, you know, they're invested. They're in that building a lot.
Yeah.
They are. And, you know, they care about their Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And they'll stick their nose in, but I think just the right amount, you know, to where they let the coaches and the people they hired run their organization, but they certainly have a good feel of what's going on. And they're not scared to spend money, as we're seeing right here with this. I mean, you know, this is pretty awesome. And then the franchise tag of Shaquille Barrett and getting back JPP and everything like that. Tampa, even before Brady signed there, it was one of those teams where, you know, I had a little asterisk next to say, ooh, watch out.
Yeah.
They could be very good next year. And, of course, now this makes you feel a little bit more confident in saying that.
Yeah, I'm a Todd Bowles fan as a coordinator. You know, I've said this before. Al Gore was a great vice president. You know, maybe not the president. There are guys that are built to be vice president. I think Bowles is a great defensive coordinator.
Definitely. I'm with you. Creative. And I think, yeah, you know, you got to be that way this day and age. You know, the day and age of like, oh, we're just going to line up and play two defenses and we're going to be sound and we won't mess up. You know, I just think that's over. If you're not able to conform and change on a week-to-week basis like we've seen New England do for the past 20 years, and oh, yeah, that's right, they've dominated the league for 20 years, then I just think you're crazy. So I do like that aspect. Special front seven in Tampa. I mean, special. Those two linebackers they got, you know, Levante David and the kid from, you know, I'm blanking on his name, from LSU, Devin White.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the defensive line. They have some young, upcoming superstars in the secondary. So I think, yes, those are things that had to appeal to Tom Brady, let alone, whoa, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, two really good tight ends.
Yeah, two.
Yeah, right. And a creative offensive minds in Arians and Leftwich.
Yeah, I think they'll address one of their tackle spots, get a running back, and they're ready to roll. I think it's a real football team. Now, New England, we've used this analogy several times. Golden State wins a bunch of games. They have equity with their fans, so they can reboot. They don't. The fans will fill the stadium several years after Michael Jordan had his six titles. New England, my guess is they go with Jarrett Stidham. They've already given up on four defensive players. They get younger. They get cheaper. And they kind of reboot for a year. I do think there is a big, big drop off. I don't like their weapons at all. I have no idea what to get with Stidham. Is it possible, not tanking, but that Belichick's saying this is a year we get rid of some money, we get younger, it's a complete reboot year, and then we get in the top eight or nine of the draft next year and get one of these quarterbacks?
Well, yeah, I think that's very real. I mean, that thought is, yeah, they're retooling. Now, you know, New England's special. I mean, they can retool and rebuild and still make it to the playoffs. You know, I'm never going to count them out here. I'm really not. You know, there's still a lot of quality football players and a coaching staff that I just think the world of. Yeah, to me, on the outside looking in, I know for a fact that they love Jarrett Stidham. Are they willing to roll with him, you know, right now in year two of his career without him playing? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah.
You know, I still wouldn't rule out maybe Andy Dalton ending up in New England. I really wouldn't. So we'll see how all that shakes out. But, you know, nonetheless, I do think, yes, New England is in a little era here of retooling, refurbishing their football team to get back at, you know, a level we're used to seeing them at. And they're not quite there yet. But, you know, they'll get there. I know that. And they're all about value signings, as we know, Colin. Like, Damier Bird at wide receiver. Nobody's really going to know that. But, you know, they signed him from Arizona last year, pretty good player who has potential to be something. You know, that's how they play football, and I certainly am not counting them out yet.
By the way, I had a I'll just say this. I had a very prominent NFL person tell me yesterday,
yeah,
that it was brief, but Jimmy G, you could have made a call to San Francisco. They would have at least listened to the phone call. This person said, we heard about it. You were the first one that said, there's a rumor out there with the Niners. It's now officially done. I was told yesterday,
right,
even though I didn't understand it, that Garoppolo, if not on the market, they would have listened to calls. Can you give us some clarity now that it appears, Brady's in Tampa, Garoppolo's going to be the guy?
Yeah, sure. No, you know, I knew a lot really about the situation and, you know, from both sides, from all angles. You know, yeah, you know, you said it. I do know Kyle Shanahan, of course. You know, he calls me Johnny Media now, so he's very scared to tell me much, okay? That's what he calls me. So I don't get much information from Kyle Shanahan anymore and really try to stay out of those convos a lot of the time. But I knew some people that were, you know, connected to Brady where I had a feel of the situation. You know, I know some people in New England as well. I do think the Brady to San Francisco thing was a very real possibility.
Yep.
I think I know Brady wanted it.
Yeah.
You know, I do think the 49ers, from my understanding, tossed around the idea. And I think that's where people, you know, maybe missed that conversation a little bit and they just thought, oh, yeah, Brady to 49ers, are they just going to do that and swap out Jimmy G? No. You know, I think a big part of that was if you were going to make that move for a 43-year-old quarterback who maybe, you know, leaves after 1 year and just says, okay, I'm too old, it's over, you got to get a respectable trade offer for Jimmy Garoppolo, too. I think people are missing that piece of the puzzle. You weren't just going to swap out, you know, I know Brady's the GOAT, for Jimmy Garoppolo, who's just starting to hit the prime of his career, and just say, oh, we'll just make an even swap and that's it. No, you know, I think a big factor with that would be the 49ers would have to have an offer and acquire some assets to go along with it to move on from Jimmy G, because there is great risk at signing a quarterback who's 43 years old and maybe only plays one or two more years, or, you know, pulls a calf muscle, you know, in week two because he is 43, and we go, damn, you know, well, yeah, what'd you expect? He's 43. Those type of things happen. So I do think that was a very big part of that conversation, for sure, Colin.
Yeah, and that's what I was told yesterday, that there were suitors. I mean, you and I can both figure them out. Chargers probably would have called.
I would think so.
Carolina probably would have called. You know, I mean, Chicago maybe called. So I guess my point is there was more to it than I gave it credit for, and you were on the front of this, Johnny Media, and congratulations.
Thank you, Colin Media. I appreciate that.
finally, you know, it is basketball's changed. It used to be it was about centers. Now you can't have a second guy on the court that can't shoot a three. Clint Capela, Houston. No value, because Westbrook can't shoot a three. We can't have two. In the NFL, accuracy and mobility matter. The world's changing. Pocket quarterbacks. I always say this. Jacob Eason would have been the top quarterback prospect 8 years ago. Now he's probably number five. He's kind of Flacco-ish. I look at Cam Newton. I don't see a huge marketplace.
I don't see.
I mean, injured? Inaccurate, drama, older. What is it? Chicago went and got Foles. So
I know.
What's the marketplace for Cam? I've been saying this. I don't see it.
Well, no. There's certainly risk. There's no doubt about that. And especially right now with the fact that teams can't do, you know, medical check-ins and check-ups on guys, that's really going to throw a wrench into Cam Newton. You know, listen, I don't know the particulars of what happened to Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, but just as it looks right now, yeah, I mean, it kind of seems like Carolina did him dirty. I mean, oh, hey, all the quarterback seats are full. Hey, now you can go seek a trade. Whoa, okay, great. I mean, up until an hour ago, there was only two teams that need a quarterback, and you just said it. The Bears filled that hole with Nick Foles. So now is the Chargers going to get in play? I don't know.
I just, you know, it feels like they solved their guard and left tackle spot. It feels like they're getting ready to put somebody in that spot, like a Justin Herbert. They don't want to get dinged up.
Right.
You know, that's what that Beluga's got maybe 1 or 2 years left. What they're trying to do, it feels like to me, is we're going to get a young guy. The one thing we don't want is him to get his butt kicked physically and lose confidence.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, you know, I have no problem with that. I certainly, you know, Justin Herbert, I've been studying him. I mean, he's a special talent. He's a top 10 pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So if they want to go the route and play with Tyrod Taylor for a year, hey, that's fine. I do think Cam Newton fits the style in which they want to play. I mean, Anthony Lynn being an ex-running back, them having a top 5 defense in football. Hey, you mentioned it. Cam Newton's not the type of guy that we think is going going to go like 35 for 42 and you're going to drop him back and he's just going to wheel and deal all game long. No, but he can play that style of football, ball control. Hey, we ran the ball. Hey, Cam, you run the ball. Okay, you haven't thrown the ball in a few plays, but doesn't matter. You're Cam Newton. Just muscle in some 20-yard in cut in there. He is capable of doing that. That's what he's been doing. So, you know, the potential of Cam Newton excites me. The Chargers do need, you know, billboard material there in L.A.
Yes.
You know, and that's the one thing I do look at it. But other than that, you know, you're right, Colin. I don't know where he ends
you know
up
what?
At this point in time.
You know, it makes me think, Chris, I know Anthony Lynn wants to move the pocket.
Right.
I know that. And I know Spanos has said we need to sell tickets. I wonder if, because if there's no market for Cam, you're going to get him at a value.
Yep.
And you draft Jordan Love.
Okay.
And then you say, okay, Cam, two-year deal. We're going to sit Jordan for 2 years. You both have similar styles. Now, that would make sense to me because Jordan Love has got a little Cam. I don't think he's quite as gifted. But now that would be interesting. So I could solve, in your opinion, I could solve the billboard problem.
Right.
I get a good number on Cam.
Right.
And I get the next Cam. That is interesting.
No doubt. Some possibility there. It does. And of course, you know, you have a defense and a lot of things on your team that you like to where you go, you can win now.
Oh, yes.
You really can, right?
Yes.
I mean, yes. So that I look at that. And, you know, the big thing, again, with Cam Newton is just going to be the medical checkup and how that all plays out. Because, yeah, you know, you said it. You're right. He's 30 years old. He's been beat up. He's played the position in a style, in a way that we've really never seen a quarterback play that way. So does it catch up to him? I think that's the fear. I would say no, not yet. You know, I would say that we're still going to see a few good years from Cam Newton before this is all said and done. And the big thing is, like you just said too, I mean, you're not going to have to trade much to get him.
No.
And especially maybe nothing now because there's going to be no competition. They've gone all in with Teddy Bridgewater. They've cornered himself there. So, you might be able to just say, hey, we're going to wait until you release him. Just release him, and then we'll sign him. And might not have to trade anything.
Yeah, Chris Sims, great talking to you. Listen to your dad every week as well, doing his radio hits during the season with that crazy Chris Russo. So I hear the whole family all the time, my man. Good talking to you.
Thanks, man. Good talking to you as always. Be good, buddy.